Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 158 of Her, the podcast where you'll hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her spring cleaning skin. Yeah, you heard me right. We have a terrific show coming up, but before we begin, just know that this episode is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And here's your reminder to click on iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show, because we look forward to hearing from you and reviewing all of your feedback. Just love to hear from you. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast,
the naked truth about women,
her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
Yeah, spring cleaning your skin. What is all of that about? Well, you know something? We can't hear enough about our skin. Raise your hand if I was correct. Yep, that's what I thought. Oh my goodness gracious, it's so confusing. But you know, spring's a great time to kind of start it all over again. Let's just clean up this mess we've made of our skin. So we have one of America's top dermatologists, Dr. Jody Alpert Levine, is the director of dermatology at Plastic Surgery and Dermatology of New York City, a leading medical and aesthetic practice in New York City. She's an expert in dermatology and dermatological surgery, specializing in medical and surgical pediatric dermatology, as well as adult cosmetic dermatology and laser surgery. Oh my gosh, I'm just telling you right now, we have so many questions for you. Dr. Levine, welcome to the Her Podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. All right. So, you know, the most often overlooked symptom is the toll stress can play on your physical appearance. We eat too much and we put on a few. That's one way to do it. The other one is your skin. Yeah, you thought you were basically getting away with murder, but you're not. So really, when you look at the stress, anxiety, we've got redness and rashes on our skin. We've got that tired, dull appearance because we're kind of beaten up and we don't even know where to begin. So Dr. Levine, how do you choose a daily skincare routine for your wonderful patients when they come in? Are there certain categories of products that you like to choose from?
Yes. So I like to analyze every patient's skin, both using a special light that I use to see under their skin, as well as a camera called the Vizia, which takes a picture of your face and then compares you to a whole database of people your age and says where you stand for brown spots, red spots, pore size, bacteria on your skin, sun damage. And I use that to help me guide my treatment. And everything I give a patient is based on what it does. So I divide the skincare routine into cleanse, tone, treat, and then moisturize and protect. So in the morning, you cleanse your face and then tone it, and then treat with something if you need a treatment. So if you have rosacea, then you need a treatment, or if you have acne, then you need a medical treatment. And then the last step is always to moisturize and protect with a good sunblock. At night, we just
skip
the protection stage.
Cause most of us get up in the morning are just happy to match our shoes, you know, and I think some women that I've spoken to or my patients, you know, they just, you know, raise their hands to the gods above and say, help, you know, it's like, how do you remember all of this stuff? So make it simple. Okay. So what do you cleanse with?
You know, it sounds like a lot when I talk, but if you do the same thing every single day, you can put three things on your face right away and it becomes routine. I like to use a gentle cleanser that has in it a lot of antioxidants and vitamins. Unless someone has
like
acne,
what?
In which
Give
case
me an
I need
example.
To add special. Green tea is my favorite antioxidant. So I have a cleanser with green tea as well as vitamin A, E, C, and several other other moisturizing ingredients as well, depending on somebody's skin and how sensitive they are.
Do you have brands that you like? You said you have this one with green tea. What brand is that?
It's actually mine, Plastic Surgery and Dermatology of NYC. We have our own line, so I generally use my products unless, you know, I grab from other brands if necessary. If someone has acne, I like a cleanser that has glycolic acid and salicylic acid. Those are the two great ingredients for acne. So it really just depends on the skin.
Okay, what about tone?
So toning also, I use a toner for acne, also with glycolic acid and salicylic. Often I find people need a brightening agent in their toner, so they have a lot of sunspots, the dull look you were talking about. And for that, I use some natural brighteners, Arbutrin, kojic acid, licorice, or there's a prescription agent called hydroquinone that we add to the toner if necessary.
Now, what is a brightening agent? What do you mean by that?
Well, sometimes we call them lightening agents, but then people worry that their skin tone is going to get light, so I've begun calling it brightening agent because that's really what it's doing. It's getting rid of some of the unnecessary pigment that you have, which is from years of sun damage. Sun damage that's there from before you're 18 years old, and it just comes out over time. And what these agents do is they help the body to clear up some of that brown pigment that's causing your skin to look dull. When light hits your face, it gets absorbed by that, and then the light doesn't bounce back, and you don't have a nice reflection.
Uh-huh. Okay, what actually is the brightening agent? What's the chemical name?
Hydroquinone is the chemical name for the best brightening agent.
Gotcha. Okay. Now we're going to treat. Now you mentioned things like rosacea. What do you do for rosacea?
Well, because when I'm a dermatologist, so when I see people, their rosacea is pretty bad, and often I resort to prescription agents for the treat part of the routine is usually a prescription. So there are lots of different prescription creams that are helpful for rosacea. Not everyone needs that treat step. You know, the average majority of people don't need a prescription. I can just stick to your basic cleanser, toner, and moisturizer. But there are several good prescription creams that we use for rosacea.
All right. So what else are you treating? You're treating acne, right?
Correct. We treat acne. Also, a bunch of different prescriptions. And then we could also just treat, say, wrinkles or, you know, skin that's aging. So for that, I may use a peptide cream because peptides are a great ingredient to help build collagen, or a retinoid or retinol, which is a derivative of vitamin A that helps strengthen the skin and build collagen.
Okay, now we're ready for moisturizing. What do we look at here? I think a lot of women with somewhat oily skin are terrified about using the wrong stuff because it's going to lead to breakouts or whatever, and other women have a combination and back and forth. So how do you help us with that?
Well, depending on the skin, we use moisturizers of different levels, different thickness. The best ingredient that I recommend for a moisturizer is ceramides. If you look in the drugstore at various moisturizers, you'll notice the name ceramide. It's become very common for companies to now add ceramides to their moisturizers. So that is the ingredient I love best. And for people who have oily skin, we use a very light moisturizer. Other people need a bit of a thicker one. So also it depends on the season. So we definitely use more thicker moisturizers in the winter. Now that we're hitting summer, we use something lighter. Also, something I just want to add is in the treat stage, for people in the summer, I often use a serum, like a very, very light serum that you don't feel sticky or oily. But in the winter, we use a cream because you need a little bit more moisturization.
Okay. So you're saying for the moisturizing then, the oily skin, certainly as we're going into the spring and summer now, is going to be, we're thinking about something light. And are you saying water-based?
Yes, generally. There is a brand called Elta MD that I love that has a very light moisturizing sunblock. But it has zinc oxide, so it's a great sunblock. And it's meant for acne-prone skin, so it's not oily. And it's feels great on. That's something that I love using for people who are oily or acne prone or just don't like the feeling of a cream on their skin.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about people with super dry skin?
So for super dry skin, we definitely have thicker moisturizers, something with a little more ceramides and sometimes hyaluronic acid, which helps hydrate the skin. And, you know, there's different thicknesses of the cream, and they usually correlate to how moisturizing the cream is. Also, a cream
and then
is
how
more
do
moisturizing
we protect?
Than a lotion. So we definitely protect with sunblock. Zinc oxide and titanium dioxide are the physical blockers that are the best. And
so what's the SPF we're going
for? Chemical blockers are good too. SPF, I prefer 45 or higher.
Okay, because I see a lot of 50 and 60
30
now.
30 is good. Yeah, as long as you're above 45. The bottom line is that nobody uses the right amount of sunblock. And you're only going to get that protection that's on the bottle if you use enough. But it's a shot glass worth that they use when they measure that SPF, and no one uses that. So the higher the number, the better, so that you could actually get some of that protection.
So how long does this SPF actually work?
In general, you're supposed to reapply your sunblock every 2 to 3 hours, which is hard to do, and most people don't. And if you're in the water in the summer, you definitely want to reapply when you get out of the water. But it's best to try to reapply every 2 to 3 hours.
Okay, how in the heck do you do that when it's underneath your makeup?
Right. It's a good question. It's not that practical. I think most people, if you're outdoors, then you have to, if you know you're spending a day at the beach, you have to come prepared with some sunblock and maybe a little makeup to put on top. And if it's a day where you're just walking around and going, you know, going to lunch or doing errands, it may not be that practical, but hopefully on a day like that, you're not out in the sun so much. So if you're out in the sun, you really have to carry with you your sunblock and a little makeup.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's a challenge. There's no question about it. I mean, what can you do? The grand majority of women have, well, you know, the other issue is the sunblock that's available in makeup even worth it? I think a lot of the makeup now that's coming through the foundations and the rest of it say that they have a sunblock of, you know, 30 or 15, something like that. Is that even doing anything?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would never rely on makeup for my sunblock because, like I was trying to explain before, you need to use a whole lot of that product in order to actually get that sun protection. And nobody is caking on all that makeup on their face. So if you use half of what was used when they tested their product to declare the SPF, you're only getting 1/6 the protection. So you're not, you know, an SPF 30 becomes an SPF 5. So you're not getting that. And I would never rely on the makeup.
Huh. Okay. So let's say you've got the sun damage, you know, like just about everyone out there. So you've got the sun damage. So what's the treatment to be able to reverse this and maybe even prevent sun damage?
So beside using a toner with a lightening agent, you know, like we were discussing, the real thing that gets rid of sun damage is laser. And there are so many lasers around now. A photofacial is a very basic laser treatment. It's a light treatment that helps break up the pigment under your skin and helps the body clear it. And then there's another laser out there now, which I love, called the PicoShore, which is just sensational.
Now, wait a minute. Say that one more time. What is it?
It's called PicoShore. That happens to be the one that I use, although there are a lot of lasers out there with that name Pico. A picosecond is a millionth of a second, and it just means that the laser energy comes out really quickly. The benefit to that is that you have no downtime. You can do a treatment, and then the very next morning, no one knows you did a thing. It works beautifully without causing any harm to the skin. And it breaks up
what
all that
what is it actually doing
in
to the skin
way.
That's beneficial?
What it's doing is it's breaking up the extra layer of brown, dark pigment that was laid down by the sun. And it helps your body get rid of that so that your skin looks clearer. It helps the tone of your skin. And it helps your skin shine. It helps light bounce off your skin.
Now, how many of these treatments do you need to make this work?
After just one treatment, you are going to see a difference. Usually 1 to 2 weeks after the laser treatment, your skin glows. It's beautiful. But every time you laser, you get more and more pigment. So depending on how much you have, you may need to do it a few times.
Aha. Okay. Now, so we've got the photofacial, the PicaSure laser. What's the next step up?
Sun protection. You need to maintain your results with sun protection. And it's essential because we can't prevent the sun from making more pigment. So you really have to use not just sunblock, but a hat, seek shade, you know, be smart about not being in the sun all day.
Okay. But what about lasers? After the PicaSure laser, what else is there?
Well, the photofacial and the PicaSure happen to be my two personal favorites for pigment. And there's basically no pigment I can't get without those two, used in special ways. Then there are lasers that we use for redness, because the sun puts down not just brown on your skin, but also red. People get extra blood vessels and sort of a mottled look to the skin where it's a little red, a little brown, a little white. So then I use a different laser for redness.
Which one is that one? What's it called?
The photofacial that I was referring to before can be used in one way for brown and in one way for red. So often I use that one. And then there's a laser called the V-beam, which is excellent for blood vessels. So the little blood vessels people get on the corners of their nose, I would say everyone has those. Those are very hard to get rid of, and the V-beam is great for that. And I also use it for the full face, for redness from the sun, redness from rosacea, or even, you know, those little red cherry spots some people get. We can get rid of those in a second with the laser.
Uh-huh. So it sounds like the laser is pretty good. Do you do intensive facials? Do you find facials to be of use?
Yeah, sometimes. I think if it's done well, you have to go to the right person who's not going to irritate and worsen your skin. And sometimes I think facials just give a temporary smoothness and glow to your face, and other times they're great for cleaning out your pores and really helping your skin. So it depends who does it and how it's done. But yes, I do.
Well, what about chemical peels that take place during the facial?
I love chemical peels. I like a glycolic peel, which really helps get rid of the outer layer of dead skin. And in doing so, it helps build some collagen underneath. Also helps prevent acne and treat acne. Some facials use fruit enzymes for peels, and they vary in strength. Some are effective, some are not so effective. I personally like the glycolic peels.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. How often should someone have something like a chemical peel?
I like a chemical peel once a month, and I'm talking about a gentle peel, not one that actually makes you peel or makes you red, but a gentle glycolic peel done once a month, I usually compare to a manicure on the nails. It's really just a nice treatment to maintain your skin. It helps your face glow.
Excellent. What about the retinoids?
So retinoids are wonderful if used correctly. They are just high concentrations of vitamin A, and they really do help with acne. They help with aging. They help with pigment. They're wonderful, but if used wrongly, if you use too much or too strong a retinoid, it can make your skin irritated. So you really have to use just a pea size, or I tell people the size of a pencil eraser, for your entire face.
Hmm. Wow. I think that's not what people are doing out there. I'm just saying.
It's not. If people are getting dry, they need to use it less frequently. Some people can use one every night. Other people need to just use it twice a week.
Okay. I see. So really, at the end of the day, you're looking at, all right, you said cleanse, tone, treat, moisturize, protect. What happens at nighttime? You know, when you've got makeup slopped all over your face and you just came home, you stumbled through the front door. It's been one of those 12-hour, challenges, and you're ready to clean up and hit the sack. What do you do? Tell me. How do you clean your skin?
So at night it's the same thing. You're going to use your cleanser. I use toning pads. So when I say tone, you just wipe a pad. It's pretty quick. And then you put on your prescription if you need one and your moisturizer. You don't need to protect at night, but the other steps are very quick and easy. And the difference is at night I usually concentrate on adding something with ingredients that help with wrinkles. So I usually use my retinoid at night.
Ah, so in what form do you use the retinoid? Is that a serum? What is that?
Yeah, so the retinoid comes in that treat step, and it could be a serum, it could be a cream, it could be a gel, depending on the skin. People with oily skin might like serums. People with dry skin like creams. I find men like gels. So they come in all different forms. In general, there are three essential ingredients to anyone's skincare routine, and that is you should have a retinoid, because it really works for everybody, an antioxidant, green tea being my favorite, and sun protection. So if you're just going to choose three things, make sure you use a moisturizer that has some sunblock. Make sure you use something that has an antioxidant in it, so it could be in your moisturizer also, and a retinoid.
Uh-huh. Okay, how interesting. So, you know, when you just cut to the chase, right? This is what you use. If you're, tell me what the difference is if you're someone who's 25, 40, and 65. Is there any big difference in what you're actually doing with this treatment plan, with the whole regimen?
Well, we're going to stick to the same categories, but a 25-year-old might still have a little bit of acne, whereas the person in their 40s or 60s were definitely concentrating more on anti-aging. By 60s, your skin is going to be a little drier, a little thinner. You're going to need thicker products, more moisture. You're also probably going to have some more sunspots. So your skin might be, because it's thinner, might be a little more sensitive. So the retinoid that I use on a 40-year-old, I would go down in strength on that for the 60-year-old. So it's really just
different variations. Does a 25-year-old need a retinoid?
I like a retinoid for everybody, because if it's not helping you with acne, it's helping with anti-aging. And 25 is not too early to start with that. A retinoid also smooths your skin out, and it just gives your skin such a beautiful look that I if someone can tolerate a retinoid and it agrees with them, I like to use it in all age groups.
Ah, okay. You know, one of my listeners knew that we were going to do another skin segment with you coming up, and she said, you know, now that it's going to be spring, I'm going to be in my pool more. Is there something I should do to protect my face before and after I'm exposed to some level of chlorine?
Chlorine can be very irritating and drying. So I think the most important thing is just to make sure you're moisturizing. A lot of people moisturize in the winter because it's cold out and their skin gets dry, but they forget to moisturize in the summer. So just in the morning, put on a moisturizer, and at night, put on a moisturizer, and don't forget about it.
Okay, and then clearly a very potent sunblock, because you're out in the sun, you know, so much when you're swimming and back and forth, because that can be extremely drying to the skin in general. So I think that so many women out there are really challenged to remember to do everything, especially when they're super tired or rushed, you know, which seems to be, you know, the status quo here for just about everybody. And I think you're saying that using a retinoid, having an antioxidant, and then having some level of sun protection is really important. I think a lot of women just look at me, throw up their arms and say, just give me the least I have to do to protect myself, and then I'll hope that one day I can add all the rest of it. So I think you kind of did that in a nice way, because I think it gets very almost overwhelming. I mean, you as a dermatologist, surely, as you're reading fashion magazines and women's health magazines and just the media in general, we're just pummeled with products and new ways to be able to work with the skin. I don't know how anybody is able to really get through the mire of all of the oftentimes confusing and conflicting data out there. So what do you tell people when they're just coming in with internet printouts of not God knows what they found online and back and forth? You know, how do you talk them off the ledge?
Right. You know, it is very confusing, and there are so many good things out there. But the bottom line is a lot of them are good, and you can't use everything. And it's important to stick to the same products. switching, people that try a new product every month, it makes your skin very sensitive. And it's one of the causes, one of the reasons that's thought to be the reason that we have more rosacea around now. Rosacea is people with sensitive skin that gets very red. And one of the thoughts is that if there's so many products out there, people are trying so many more products and their skin is getting irritated. So I think a little bit you need to ignore. You need to ignore all that out there and find a good routine that works for you and stay with it. And unless there's something that's earth-shattering, some new discovery that your doctor will definitely tell you about, the other thing is not better than what you're using. It may sound like it because the grass is always greener, but the bottom line is you found something that's good, stick with it.
How interesting. You know, I never thought about the fact that hopping from one product to another actually can increase the incidence of rosacea. Wow.
It's a thought.
I didn't realize
it's not proven,
that.
But it's a hypothesis, and it makes sense. You can't keep exposing your skin to different ingredients all the time. You should keep
interesting.
Things somewhat constant.
Interesting. You know, and so I think that's a lot of women are challenged with the fact that sometimes their skin changes. As you mentioned, when you age, you have a different skin. It's thinner, et cetera. So I think that's when a lot of women scratch their head and they're starting to worry about things like wrinkles and saggy skin and blotchy skin, etc. So what they did not have when they were 25, they're freaking out about by the time they hit 45. And I think that so it's okay though to change up the regimen when the aging process kicks in, right?
Definitely. No question that as time goes on, you will need to add some products or change your products, but it's, you know, the changing every month that's the problem.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Yeah, because I think that's what I see a lot of people do. They run into, you know, all kinds of places. The big cosmetic companies are constantly pushing new stuff at them. And honestly, it's just, and then the final piece here. Hypoallergenic. What's that about? Are those products really, truly hypoallergenic?
You know, when a product puts hypoallergenic on their bottle, they are basically saying that some of the most common irritants are not in their product. It does. There may be something in that product that irritates you because everybody's skin is different. But there are certain classes of ingredients that can be irritating to people who are sensitive. And in general, those are not going to be in the bottle. But overall, any claim that's made in a bottle, there's not much to make sure that it's true. Even the words natural, you can't always trust that, or it sometimes can be misleading. There are products that people say natural that say natural on the bottle, and they have in them some essential oils, which irritate people. So just because something says natural doesn't mean it's not irritating. So you do have to be careful with what you read on the bottle and with claims that you read in magazines and what people tell you at the counter and various stores, which is why I say don't jump around too much. But for the most part, a hypoallergenic product should be good for people with sensitive skin.
Excellent. Excellent. You know, I think a lot of people are becoming much more aware of this whole issue of hypoallergenic products because they are getting breakouts and they're not feeling great about it. And I think they're becoming much more aware and mindful of what they're actually putting on their body, both in terms of this type of skin regimen as well as makeup, because as you're well aware, makeup's just a nightmare of wild and crazy chemicals and potential allergens all the way through. And I think that's becoming more and more exposed in the news and the media, and women are reading this. And I think they're picking it up. Do you hear that more from women?
Definitely. I myself just recently, I haven't bought makeup in 10 years. I went and bought a new under eye concealer and I got puffy, red, itchy eyes the next day. Made me realize I probably should stick to my product I've been using for 10 years. The allergies are a problem. They really are. They're more common. No one really understands why, but they are more common. And a lot of it, I think, has to do with all these different ingredients we're trying out.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no question about it. Well, this has just been wonderful. I think it's time for everyone out there in her podcast land to understand that we're undergoing skin spring cleaning. You have to do it. At some point, you got to sit down, take a deep breath, and literally clean this up. We've been talking to Dr. Jody Levine, and she is the director of dermatology at Plastic Surgery and Dermatology of New York City, a leading medical and aesthetic practice in New York City. And you can learn more about their work at their website, plasticsandderm.com, plasticsandderm.com, because they have both plastic surgery as well as dermatology. Dr. Levine, we cannot thank you enough for being on the Herb podcast and sharing your wisdom about all things spring cleaning your skin. And I want to make sure everyone out there knows to hit iTunes right now and rate and review this wonderful episode we've just done and buff up your skin while you're at it. I'm waiting to hear your feedback. Would love to read what you have to share with me. I'm Dr. Pam Peake, host of the Herb podcast. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peake or Twitter at Pam Peake MD. And remember to catch every episode of the Her Podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening today and stay well.